Good morning, and thanks for the invitation. It's a great opportunity for me. It's something strange because I work in the lab. I'm not used to be in connection with families. And I have to tell you that I've listened to so many important questions demanding for answer in these 2 days, that I've changed a little bit my presentation and tried to answer to as many as I can from my little point of view. And anyhow, I will talk about career anyhow. So let's start from this major question that has arrived many, many times in these 2 days. So is there any way to predict something from the mutation, starting from the mutation, or starting from any functional test that we can do to improve what we can understand of the, which will be the history of the disease. Our diagnostic experience is an experience starting more than 20 years ago, when we start to analyze Wiskott patients when the gene was not discovered yet. And this is one of the first collaborative work we have done with Dr. Ox. We have many mutations put together, and we try to understand whether there was a difference in the distribution of the mutation between Wiskott, severe Wiskott, and milder XLT. And what you can easily see is that missing mutations, which are the kind of mutation in which you probably will have some residual protein, are the great majority of mutation in the milder form of the disease, while the same green here are only a small part of the mutation in the severe Wiskott patient. This is to say that from what we know from the mutation, could be that in Wiskott there will be no protein because all the mutations are severe. In XLT, there will be a residual protein because the mutations are milder. In our experience, 150 mutations characterized till now, so it's not a small number, but we cannot take any conclusion. Why? Because only 22 of the mutations appear more than one time. So you cannot take any conclusion if you have so many mutations to analyze, and there is no way to correlate anything. Out of these 22 mutations, 10 are null mutations. Null mutations are predict not to have any protein product. That means that usually babies with this kind of mutation got transplanted immediately. You will not have any history, natural history of the disease to correlate with nothing else. So out of these 22, only 12 mutations can tell you something. And of these, 9 are the same mutation you have listened so many times in these days, the R86. R86 can become many different nucleotides, many different amino acids, and the patient can have very different presentations. So the lady who was telling before is right. We have XLT and we have Wiskott. So we have patients transplanted with this mutation, and we have patients who can live with no major therapeutic intervention. So this is to say that from the protein we can say, from the mutation we can say something, but we cannot take conclusion. So we go on to protein expression. Protein expression can give you another piece of information. We used to make this multiparametric flow cytometry approach, in which we do an intracellular staining for WASP and the surface staining for many markers, which allow us to characterize all the different subpopulations we want to analyze. So with this protocol, we can tell usually that the severe Wiskott, you will see here this histogram, has almost no protein. A milder form has an intermediate amount of protein, which can change based on the kind of mutation which is at the basis of this. And this is the other form, the really mild form we know is intermittent XLT that Dr. Ox told you about yesterday. And this is wrong, but it's from Mac to PC. It does change, but the numbers are there. So this is a correlation with protein expression. So in XLT, the great majority has reduced protein. Some of them is absent. And the opposite is for severe Wiskott. So these are all pieces of information we can put together to understand what will come out from the mutation and the protein. And we have another piece of information that we can use, which is the immunophenotype of the patient. We have analyzed many of these babies for many markers, surface markers. And what we can say at the end of this is that in severe Wiskott, we almost always find that monocytes are higher than T lymphocytes. Almost always there is T lymphopenia, but the number of NK cells is really high as compared to normal and to XLT patient. The other important thing which happens always is that the CD4-CD8 ratio is 10 to 1 up to 30 to 1 in severe Wiskott patient. And again, this subpopulation of CD19 high, 21 low, Dr. Candotti told you yesterday, is somehow related to autoimmunity, is increased in patients with severe Wiskott, and is much more increased, you see here, in patients with autoimmunity. So, and last, information we can have from the immunophenotype is that mature B cells, so the memory B compartment, is almost disappear in severe Wiskott patients. All of this information on immunophenotype are something which is recurrent, and we can say every time we see an immunophenotype like this, we think we will have a severe Wiskott. This is important to say because in this way we characterize this WIP deficiency. The WIP deficiency was characterized using this immunophenotype. So this is a new immunodeficiency in which the gene is the gene mutated is a gene which is a protein who interacts with WASP and stabilizes WASP. So if WIP is not there, WASP is not there. So what we can expect is a really similar phenotype between the two diseases. And so this is another piece of information we can add and say three things we can put together to understand how will be the outcome of this kind of mutation. But using the immunophenotype and the analysis of WASP protein, we put the two things together and we use this technique to analyze patients transplanted. And as you see here, you can easily see which is the population which is not engrafted and the population which is engrafted. In the same way, you have the really high detection power, which is higher than the genetic way to analyze this engraftment. Because in the genetic way, so the molecular way, you have a limit, which is the 5%, which is related to technique you're using. In this way, if you have 0.72% of positive cells, you're going to see them. And if you have 1.32 negative cells of WASP, you are going to see them. That means that the baby is losing the transplant, so his engraftment is not complete. This is important. Why? Because we decided to use the same technique to analyze carriers. Because you know that carriers have two X chromosomes, so they have two different expressions of the protein. One is exactly the same of the baby, and the second is a normal one. So you will see here in this graph the two peaks that are the normal appearance of a carrier. You know what is happening in carrier of Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome mutation is that as WASP is really important for the maturation of many hematopoietic cells, the X chromosome inactivation usually is non-random. That means it's not really not random, but is apparent not random. That means that all the cells which casually, randomly, had the mutated X chromosome just disappear because they do not have any advantage in proliferation and in all the function you can expect from these cells. So this apparent X chromosome inactivation could be important to understand something else, to understand something important for the carriers and important for the mutation and for the baby. And I will show you why. This is coming also because maybe you know there are some cases of female Wiskott. Female Wiskott are coming from extreme lionization. That means that this X chromosome inactivation is totally unbalanced to the mutated one. And for this reason, we thought this would be interesting to analyze and check whether there will be any increased risk of some of the complications which are related to Wiskott also in carrier females. I told you some because we are not entering into immunodeficiency because immunophenotype of carriers are absolutely normal, so there are no difference in immunophenotype. High susceptibility to infection, there is nothing different from the general population, and eczema also. So thrombocytopenia, increased risk of autoimmune disorders and lymphoma are the three things that we can analyze and check for. So this is the analysis by flow of the X chromosome inactivation in many different subsets of a carrier. You will see here the two different populations, WASP negative, WASP positive. And in all these sides of the cartoon, you are looking at myeloid cells. In myeloid cells, you see the percentage is almost 50-50. So the if the gene is not that important for the development of that population, the X chromosome will be somehow random inactivated. If the gene is really important for cells, and here we have the cells for which it's really important, so T cells, NK cells, B cells, you see we have almost all Wiskott positive cells. I'm not going more deeply in this. This table just shows you, and you just follow the color code. Pink is more than 95% of the normal Wiskott allele, and yellow is more than 75% of the normal Wiskott allele, means that only the few green dots have less than 25% of the normal Wiskott allele active. That means that this woman has 28%, 31% of the mutated allele, which is expressed. 70% of the mutated allele, which is expressed. Is there a different distribution of this WASP plus versus WASP minus allele? Yes, it is, and you will see here how it is distributed. These are the myeloid cells I was telling you before, and these are lymphocytes or lymphoid cells. And you will see that almost all the carriers have this nearly 100% of normal allele expressed. This is more convincing if you are looking at another X-linked disease, which is X-linked gamma globulinemia. And you can see here in the same population that the BTK gene has a random inactivation. So usually around 50% has the plus and around 50% has the minus. While this doesn't happen with the Wiskott. So in the Wiskott case, it's almost all the cells, more or less, have a tendency to express only the plus allele, so the Wiskott allele. There is a difference also in this expression of plus and minus in carriers of different mutations. So the more the mutation is severe, so null mutation are severe mutation, the more you see in this subset, which are the more sensitive to the absence of WASP, we have almost only WASP positive cells. Is this X chromosome inactivation a stable effect or stable thing during the over time? Yes, it is. We have a female analyzed over a time frame of 10 years, and this inactivation always is the same, and always is the same in the same subpopulation, and frequently is the same in carrier of the same mutation in the same family. Not always is the same. I want to drive your attention on four females, which are these four females, that you can see them are far away from the median of the other female. And these are the ones in which we have found something particular, which is that this X chromosome inactivation is inverted. So in this female, in the myeloid cells, we have a prevalent expression of the mutated WASP gene. Why is this important? Because in this woman, we have found low platelets, tendency to bleeding, and these are the four cases. And the interesting thing is that these four cases are an intermittent XLT, an XLT, and a Wiskott with a deletion of all the gene. So this is something we can randomly happen, and we don't know why it happens, but could be really interesting because you will have a tendency to have some of the complication of the childbirth Wiskott only because your normal X chromosome, which normally is enough to cover totally the amount of protein you need to have the function of which is important for. In these cases, you have more than 17% of WASP mutated. That is, that you have less than 30% of normal WASP. So this is not enough, we can say, to cover totally, at least for thrombocytopenia. If we go and see, go on and see the platelet graph of these two women, you will see the first one has also a low MPV, and platelets here are not low, but in another determination was around 150. Thousand. This second woman has a different determination of 70,000, 80,000, and while the MPV was normal. Another thing we tried to check was whether there is any prevalence of autoimmune problems or proneness in these carriers, and we apply the same autoantibody array that Dr. Notarangelo showed you yesterday for kids. And if you see this as a normal control, which is totally lacking any autoantibodies, in these carrier females, you will see they are scattered with different kind every one different kind of autoantibodies. Has this observation any clinical relevance? We actually don't know at this point, because we tried to have the autoantibodies measured for some of them, and there is nothing in the sera with normal technique. So maybe this is, and we know that this much more sophisticated and sensitive than the normal analysis you're doing on sera, but could be that can have any predictive importance for carriers. So that's why we try to set up a questionnaire. This is just a brief translation from the Italian one we are doing. And the questionnaire just asks brief questions to carriers regarding the bleeding tendency, what if they have any blood count recently, and which is the red blood count, the platelet count, and also if they have ever been diagnosed with any of these autoimmune diseases, if they had any autoantibody tested, and they had been diagnosed with any kind of tumors. This is a really simple questionnaire. And we are trying to ask by telephone to all the mothers of our hospital, which are more than 60. And at this time, we have 10 WISCOT and 10 XLT reply. There is, let's say, nothing important from the autoimmunity point of view, because we have one thyroiditis and one arthritis, but they are not really diagnosed. And also, you know that in female, the incidence of autoimmune phenomenon is really increased. So this could be something which is not related to the condition of WISCOT carrier. No tumor described by now, and also we have to say that if a carrier mother of one of our child has a tumor, we will be aware of. So I think that in our 50 there is no case, but there are many bleedings tendency that we have to check in more detail to see whether these are related to a condition of skewed inactivation. So if their inactivation is driven to or drives to the mutated X chromosome. So our intention now is to complete this questionnaire in our hospital, then to try to give a different format, because we will need all the information about the mutation, about the protein expression, and so on, to other hospital, and then to try to open an international call for analyze all of that. So our conclusion is mainly this one, which is that in about 10% of carrier females, we can see an inversion of the X chromosome inactivation, which in myeloid cells can give to a prevalence of platelet-related problems. So we have no conclusion. I told you about that. So what is the reason why this happens? We don't know. And this is interesting because the X chromosome inactivation test was one of the first tests for diagnosis we used to do 20 years ago when the gene was not discovered yet. But we used to analyze some of the subpopulation. The X chromosome inactivation by flow test we are proposing now is something which is much more analytical and going deep in any single subpopulation. It can tell you whether there is a skewed inactivation on one side or on the other side. And then, just before closing, I just want to answer to two more questions that I found on the paper of the question. And one was, what if a mother is not a carrier, is another child affected? And this is, for us, a mosaicism of the germinal cells. So if this is not considered a carrier, but has or two female carriers, which is a case we have in our court, or two boys affected. So what happens is that there is a new mutation in the germinal cells, and so after the first pregnancy, usually in Italy, we make genetic counseling and prenatal diagnosis for these families. And the other is, when should female be tested for carrier detection? So this is depends on the local rules. In Italy it's 18 years, so we cannot do anything before. But, and here I'm going back again to this analysis on X chromosome inactivation. If this was proven to be true, that X chromosome inactivation, when is inverted, can give you an increased tendency to some of the problem that has a patient with whiskers, then you are allowed to make something. This is the only, at least in Europe or in Italy, the only condition in which you can do an analysis of a carrier in someone who is less than 18 years, when clinically you can do something. Thank you.